In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is from Matthew chapter 26. Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words of our gospel lesson are very familiar words for the Christian church. We hear them every Sunday as we keep the Lord's Supper, where Jesus gives us his own body and blood under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of sins. I would like to take our time tonight to focus especially on one of these words of institution. This word may often be overlooked or misunderstood, yet it is paramount to the proper understanding of the Lord's Supper as both Christ's true body and blood, as well as a means of grace given to us for the forgiveness of our sins. That important word is covenant. Jesus says, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Throughout the Old Testament, God made one-sided, unconditional, everlasting covenants. Only once was a conditional covenant made, and we'll return to that in a moment. First, we must see that throughout human history, God has graciously promised mankind blessings and even salvation while attaching no stipulations or conditions. After the great flood, God promised all creation never to flood the world in such a way again. That was the first covenant in the Bible, and it was called an everlasting covenant. More would follow. The covenant to Abraham was then passed on to Isaac and Jacob. In that everlasting covenant, God promised to be their God. He would bless them, turn them into a nation, and bless all nations through their one offspring, who is Christ Jesus. King David then received an everlasting covenant as well. God said that David's offspring would reign as king forever. That is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amid all these one-sided, unconditional, everlasting covenants, there is only one conditional covenant between God and the sons of Israel. It is the covenant made at Mount Sinai in our Old Testament lesson. This is not a covenant of God's grace and his promises. It is a covenant of the law. It begins in Exodus 20 with the giving of the Ten Commandments and continues for four whole chapters. In our Old Testament lesson, Moses comes down to the sons of Israel, reads aloud all the laws and judgments of the Lord. The people reply in verse 3, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." They have entered into a covenant that they cannot and will not keep. Moses takes care of the rest. He sets up an altar for the sacrifice. He sets up pillars that bear witness to these words of the covenant. And he slaughters the oxen as the necessary sacrifice to seal this covenant, to seal God and Israel in a binding covenant. Moses throws half the blood on the altar, and he throws the other half of the blood on the people. He says in verse 8, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has cut with you in accordance with all these words." That expression is critical. The Lord has cut the covenant with Israel. Every covenant requires the shedding of blood. Even the everlasting covenants that God cut with Noah, Abraham, and David would include the sacrifice of animals, the shedding of blood. The common understanding in the ancient world was that this bloodshed would be required of whichever party broke their half of the covenant. If God fails to keep his half of the covenant, his blood is required. If Israel fails to keep their half of the covenant, their blood is required. And here we find the great tragedy. The Israel of Exodus 24 and you sitting here today have broken that book of the law. Like the Israel of old, we wander in idolatry of all sorts. We drink the blood of our false gods and become one with them. As we obsess over money and riches, looking to consume more and more, we ourselves are thereby consumed by that false god. It goes the same way for gossip, lust, coveting, and hatred. We partake of sins which become our gods, and then these gods consume us in death. As oxen were cut, slaughtered, and their blood spilled out, so now the sons of Israel, and so now you also, must be cut open, laid waste, and punished for breaking the covenant of the law. You see, there is only one conditional covenant agreement made between God and man, but it is the covenant that damns us. But what of those everlasting covenants, those promises of grace and blessing? Are they undone because Israel breaks the Mount Sinai covenant? No. God would keep his word. Though Israel breaks her covenant, God will keep all of his everlasting covenants. Indeed, God would still bless all nations through Abraham's offspring. God sent his son Jesus to be born of Mary, to live a life free from sin. This Son of God, who kept the Mount Sinai covenant perfectly, would nonetheless die for the people. Jesus Christ laid down his life, spilling his own blood to cut a new covenant, an everlasting covenant of grace and forgiveness. The writer to the Hebrews describes Jesus in this way: he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. In these words, Scripture ties together the covenant with Abraham, the covenant at Mount Sinai, and the new covenant found in the Lord's Supper. God promised Abraham that his descendants and all nations would be blessed through that one offspring, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus has come to give all nations that promised everlasting inheritance. Now, for this to take place, Jesus became the mediator of a new covenant, an everlasting covenant of grace, mercy, and forgiveness. In his death on the cross, Jesus steps in as that necessary sacrifice, shedding his blood to establish a new covenant that redeems all who have broken and transgressed the Mount Sinai covenant. As Hebrews says in verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Every covenant that is cut demands real blood to be poured out. And so we return to the upper room on that first Maundy Thursday. A new covenant is cut, an unconditional and everlasting covenant of grace and forgiveness. Jesus takes the bread and says, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he takes the cup and seals this new covenant for all eternity. He says, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." By his body and blood in the supper, Jesus Christ gives us the forgiveness of sins. This is not a symbolic meal of remembrance. This is the everlasting covenant of forgiveness. And covenants demand real blood to be poured out. This bread and wine must be Christ's own body and blood. He has said, "This is my body, this is my blood of the covenant," and only those covenants that are sealed with the blood of sacrifice are true covenants. As with the covenant made in Exodus 24, the blood is thrown in two directions. Moses threw the blood on the altar and on the people. Christ pours his blood first on the altar of the cross on Golgotha. And then Christ pours forth his blood on you in Holy Communion, where he says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And just as Moses, Aaron, and the elders ascended the mountain, they beheld God, and they ate and they drank. So now we have a great blessing from God. He does not destroy us according to our sin. He has redeemed us in the blood of his Son, the new covenant cut in his own flesh and blood. And now we, knowing that Jesus himself has established this covenant, we may come forward confidently assured that here we behold God. We eat and drink his body and blood, and we are brought into this new covenant, an everlasting covenant of grace, where we receive the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' own body and blood. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.